Well, thanks for choosing GoldSeek.com Radio. Today's featured guest, Jim Rogers, the adventure capitalist. Well, Jim Rogers, financial author and commentator, hedge fund manager, co-founder of Quantum Fund and International Commodities Index in 1998. It's a pleasure to have him back on the show today. Welcome back, Jim Rogers.
I'm delighted to be back, Chris.
You're probably watching for the rate decision. That'll be announced on September 17th, this Thursday, around 2:15. Looking at the implied probabilities at the Fed Funds Futures contract, there's about a 74% chance this morning the Fed will hold rates steady at that 0.25%. Only about a 26% chance of a rate hike. Are you expecting a curveball on Thursday?
Well, I suspect they will raise rates, Chris, but, you know, I don't really pay so much attention to it. It's astonishing to me, back here in the U.S., how much attention is paid to this. But whatever happens is going to happen. The market has probably discounted it. But either way, if rates go up, fine, they're out of the way. If it doesn't go up, then we're all going to be worried about when they're going to go up. So they may not do it. I suspect they will do something on Thursday. But if not, I'm sure they'll do something in October or November to surprise us and make us think that they're all, you know, real he-men, which they're not.
Right. So more than likely nothing this week then, and then they probably do have to pull the trigger later on. Did I understand that correctly?
I suspect they will do something on Thursday to get it out of the way to surprise us. And if they don't, they'll do something in October or November to surprise us because, you know, they have meetings every 3 months. But they can do something anytime they want to. There's nothing written in stone that they have to do it at regular meetings every 3 months.
That would shock the markets, you know, throw the markets into turmoil. I suspect you'd probably see a huge spike in volatility if they do actually raise a 0.25 to 0.5 on their benchmark overnight lending rate.
Yeah, whatever it is, it'll be temporary. We all know interest rates are going to go higher somewhere down the road. And so, yeah, maybe it would throw the markets into confusion for a day or two, but or even a week, which I can't imagine, but we know it's going to happen.
Well, moving on to the next question, you know, investor fear has certainly increased. It's one of the highest levels we've seen since the dot-com bubble peak. That can lead to downtrends. You know, the Nobel Prize-winning economist Robert Shiller is saying that he sees another bubble in equities. Of course, he's been calling a bubble for several years. Do you share his sentiments that investors could be surprised with more downside in their favorite stocks?
We're certainly going to have more downside. Well, first, let me address the bubble question. We don't have a bubble in the U.S. We have an overpriced or a high-priced stock market. But it may be a bubble in some sectors, like biotechnology or something. But no, we don't have an overall bubble. We have an expensive and overpriced stock market, but that's different from a bubble. There may be a bubble in some places, but not in the U.S., not yet. Can prices go down? Yes, and they probably will go down a lot sometime in the next year or two. Yes, it's been over 6 years since this has been going up. The market's had virtually no corrections or serious corrections in 6 years. And that's unusual. So, no, we're going to have a huge problem when we have a problem. We've had problems, economic problems, every 4 to 7 years since the beginning of the Republic. We're going to continue to have them, and the next one's going to be worse because the debt is so much higher.
You know, it's interesting you should say that because, you know, in the past, before the Fed, if you will, there was a lot of volatility in the markets, but it was as though the forest fire cleared all the underbrush and then the forest came back or the stock market and the economy came roaring back and it was a healthy, vibrant economy for another decade or so. Now that we keep putting off and postponing and postponing and postponing the day of reckoning, you know, it really makes one wonder if an end game could play out here. And the current Fed head, the current chair of the Fed doesn't have the same, I think, background that the former Fed Bernanke had. This current Fed head just is less focused on the Great Depression and the deflationary aspects, which makes me think that higher rates, they're not just threatening. I mean, this really could happen, and it could put a damper on the real estate market, the overall economy, and almost every sector. Do you expect gold to become a safe haven under that scenario?
But I want to go back to a couple of things. Ben Bernanke didn't understand anything either. Neither one of these guys, Yellen or Bernanke, and for that matter, Greenspan, Greenspan didn't really know what he was doing either. The days when we had people like William McChesney Martin or Paul Volcker who understood markets and understood economics and finance, those days are gone, I'm afraid. We now have academics who don't have a clue about what's going on. And interest rates, and what I'm afraid is going to happen is that the market's going to take control at some point here, and the central banks are not going to be able to control the market because the market has more money than the central banks, no matter how hard they try. And at that point, interest rates will go much higher than most people expect, and it's going to surprise a lot of people. You know, it was only 30 years ago that interest rates were over 20% in the U.S., so that's not so long ago historically, and average rates are certainly much higher than 0.25%, which is what we have now. As far as gold, I certainly expect gold to have its day again. I'm not buying gold at the moment and haven't for a while, as you know, but if it goes lower, I hope I'm smart enough to buy a lot more, because gold is going to wind up in a bubble before it's over. Don't worry, Chris, it'll be a bubble someday.
I'm going to take you at your word. And looking at the U.S. dollar index, obviously the precious metals are highly impacted. There's a strong correlation, negative correlation there. The U.S. dollar was in a super steep rally, let's call it, for 9 months, and it's been consolidating for another 4 or 5 months, looking very weak recently, as though maybe that uptrend could be in jeopardy. That would seem to bode well for the precious metals. Any comments?
Historically, yes. There have been many times when they've gone in separate directions. I'm still long the dollar. I expect the dollar to go higher because my view is in the next turmoil, people are going to flee for a safe haven. They will see the U.S. dollar as a safe haven first, not the yen, not the euro, or something like that. And the dollar will probably go too high. It'll get overpriced, maybe even turn into a bubble, at which point, in my scenario, gold would be lower, at which point I would swap my dollars for gold and make a great trade. It probably won't happen that way since that's my scenario, but I would think dollars will go up, gold will go down, at which point I will switch from dollars to gold. And at that point, we start seeing gold really turn into a huge bull market again. That's how I'm playing.
You mentioned black gold. You know, West Texas Intermediate crude certainly has suffered over the past 6 months, and at some point, there just has to be a tradable nadir there. Are you watching the market carefully for a bottom?
Yes, I suspect we are making a bottom now. Maybe a complicated bottom, or if we suddenly have some kind of shock to the world, gold could go. Oil could certainly go down below its old lows. But it seems to me that we are testing the bottom, the earlier bottom. You know, we had the big collapse, we had the dead cat bounce, and now we're having the test of the bottom. I suspect we are making the bottom now, maybe a little complicated, but the fundamentals, Chris, are still getting better. The world has consumed more than it has produced in the last several years, except for fracking, and fracking can't make any money at these prices. Some of them are starting to go bankrupt, and the rest of the world reserves are declining. Fracking doesn't seem to work very well in the rest of the world. So, no, we're probably making a low now, at the bottom now.
I agree with you. Moving on to the XAU, you know, you've already given us your thoughts on the precious metals, but this is another battered sector that was high-flying for many years. You know, we're seeing some top-quality companies 60, 70, 80% or more off of their bull market highs. Are you stalking these markets at all for opportunities and discounts?
Not in the U.S. We talked before about the U.S. market. U.S. market is an overpriced and expensive market, so I'm really not looking for things to buy here. And if I decide to buy energy, I would probably just buy oil futures themselves, because that's a nice way to make money if you get it right. Or I might try to buy outside the U.S., but I'm leery of the U.S. market at the moment.
Are you also of the XAU in gold and precious metals equities?
Same. I'd rather buy gold. I own gold, as you know. I hedge some of my gold, but I'm still long gold, and I'd rather buy gold itself than the gold stocks. If you get the gold stocks right, Chris, you make much, much, much more, as you know, because a gold stock can go up 20 or 30 or 40 times, just like an oil stock can. And gold is not going to go up 20 or 30 or 40 times, nor is oil. So if you get it right, you'll make more in the stocks, but also that's a lot more work.
As we wrap up here today, I wanted to ask you your sentiments on the Middle East and whether or not you see a potential flare-up in tensions there.
Oh, there's always a potential for flares in the Middle East. My goodness, It's not just, you know, two parties in the Middle East. There are a dozen parties in the Middle East, and every one of them seems to be making a mistake. I don't see anybody doing things right in the Middle East, whether it's Israelis or us or the Syrians, whoever. You pick the party. We're all making mistakes. So it's very likely that the next major war will start in the Middle East just because it's such a flashpoint. And that, of course, will drive oil much higher, probably drive gold much higher, you know, all commodities.
And as we wrap up today, you always seem to have some market that the mainline media hasn't quite picked up on yet that you're watching closely. Anything come to mind?
I try to buy China when it collapses. If we have really big, big drops, I try to buy a few shares there. I bought shares, a few shares of Zimbabwe recently and a few shares of Ghana recently, very few, but both of them are disasters, absolute unmitigated disasters. And I think I see positive changes taking place. So I'm starting to buy those two. But other than that, I don't really have anything new and exciting or different. Although I guess some people would say Zimbabwe and Ghana are new and different.
If I can just recap, maybe lighten up a bit in their portfolios on U.S. equities and probably bonds, too, for that matter. Cash might be king for a while.
Absolutely. And U.S. dollar cash. When you're in cash, you have to make sure you're in the right currency. Because if you're in the wrong currency, you could get wiped out. In my view right now, U.S. dollars to cash.
Jim Rogers, thanks for your time today. And please enjoy your visit and travels in New York.
Thank you very much, Chris. Let's do it again sometime.
Here is your mining quiz for the day, compliments of GoldSeek. Which company has the largest undeveloped gold reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold. Now, which company has the largest undeveloped copper reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold again. Seabridge has more gold reserves than Kinross, Yamana, and Agnico Eagle. Last year alone, Seabridge added 515 million tons of new inferred resources containing nearly 6 million ounces of gold and more than 6 billion pounds of copper at their giant KSM project in British Columbia, Canada. Now they are drilling at KSM again with multiple rigs in a 25,000-meter program. Find out more by visiting www.seabridgegold.net. Traded on the NYSE, symbol SA, and the TSX, symbol SEA.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.